thing. I'm bringing in really the skeleton of the songs musically.
Yeah.
I have song structure arrangements and guitar riffs, and then of course I'll be collaborating with everybody else on that. And Randy, the vocalist, this time is going to be doing more of the heavy lifting on the lyric side of things. I did it on the last album, but he'll be doing it more on this album.
Okay. And do you guys find any subject, or do you find any subject that you prefer not to write about, or that you won't write about?
So far, I don't think there's anything that I won't write about. I don't think anything should be off limits, really.
Good. And as far as getting rehearsals, I mean, as far as shows go, how many shows do you guys do, or is it rare thing, or I mean, how's the scene where you live?
Tampa, Florida is, a legendary metal location. It was the birthplace of death metal, and they gave us Cannibal Corpse and Obituary, Morbid Angel, Malevolent Creation, Death, the list goes on. Of course, it's not what it was back in the heyday of the late 80s and early 90s, but it is really solid. We have five venues in the local area. Actually, two more recently just opened up. The Union Hall in Lakeland, which is more towards Orlando, away from the city center of Tampa, but that's become a really good venue. So it remains pretty solid. I mean, there's regular shows that go on all the time here locally.
Okay, cool. It's your scene down there is probably a lot different than our scene up here. Not that many clubs anymore in this area. But
I'm sorry to hear.
Well, it is what it is. But as far as the band, as far as it being, do you guys get like radio airplay down there, or is there like a select group of outlets for the music to be heard? How do you guys approach that?
As far as the local scene goes here, there really isn't any support with the FM station like there used to be. There used to be for more of the heavier side of music, more like what we do. 98 Rock, the local FM station, used to have basically from 1 to 3 a.m. It was called The Pit, and it played death metal and black metal and highlight some of the bands locally. Unfortunately, that's gone. But there is a metal show on a public radio station, 88.5, where they play a lot of our music. Mostly what we do for radio is, of course, we search out internet radio internationally, which has been very good to us. And then I'm also getting out there with the college radio stations that do have metal programs. I think so far, last I heard, about 35 stations across the country have added Spillage to their rotation.
Nice. Now, who handles a lot of that? Is it the publicity company, or is it you guys in the band?
We use PR people. We have a couple online public relations out in LA, Lord of PR, Benjamin. He's been absolutely fantastic. We also work with Rogue PR out of London, too, who's done a really good job, mostly with blog and magazine interviews.
Right. And do they also handle the social media aspect, or do you guys do that?
I do that, yeah.
You do that. And do you find, a lot of times the bands I talk to, they hate it, but they have to do it. Do you find that it's a necessary evil, or is it something that you enjoy doing?
Necessary evil, but not so much anymore. Mainly because I just don't feel I'm just shouting into the void so much. I feel like within the last year, half a year or so, we're actually getting participation and feedback from the public. So, and that's been really good. Yeah. So I think maybe we paid a lot of our dues, and the rewards are starting to come in a little bit.
And when did I have the package, the PR package, but when did the band get together, the first incarnation?
2015. Right. Around October 2015.
And so, obviously, the scene is pretty pretty steady down there. Was it hard to find the musicians, or is it easier?
Well, for this, it's been pretty easy for me, and that's because I've been a part of the scene and played in bands for quite a long time, so I got a little bit of a reputation for being serious and being a hard worker, and I've connected with musicians, you know, that are in other bands. Of course, some of those bands don't exist anymore, so and they're good friends of mine, so it's just really easy, you know, and they know me and I know them, so it's just as easy as just really just sending out an email, you know, and reconnecting. That's how the first lineup of Blood of Angels came together, and that's how this current lineup has come together.
Awesome. And who, obviously, you came up with the name. What's the, I can kind of put two and two together, but what's the inspiration for the name? Was it just something that sounded good to you, or is there a story behind it?
Well, I mean, yeah, I just thought it was a good metal name. As far as coming up with it, I basically had an epiphany when my former band, when we parted ways. I always was kind of thinking in the back of my mind of just doing kind of my own side project, like, you know, like a more, like heavier project or something, and calling it Blood of Angels. So when my former band dissipated, you know, I just really pursued this idea full on force.
Nice. And so what's the oddest thing that you've ever experienced on stage or you've ever seen from the stage level, either happening to you or happening in the audience?
Oddest thing. Nothing I would say that was odd. I mean, you know, I've seen mosh pits go, you know, get out of control, people getting kicked in the face, things like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, for our genre of music, I don't really think that's really odd. But, yeah, I've never seen anything that was really out of the usual.
Yeah, that would have to be. That's commonplace.
Yeah, I guess.
It would be odd if nothing happened like that, I guess.
Yeah, very much so.
Nice. So as far as, like, you know, death, where do you see the genre going in the next 4 or 5 years? I mean, people are throwing all sorts of different subgenres out, the melodic death, you got the Viking death metal. I mean, there's a lot of different. Where do you see overall everything heading?
What I'm noticing right now is a real resurgence of more traditional death metal sound. I mean, at least with the people that I've come in contact and communication with, you know, when I've come across like younger audience members, you know, they are much different from when I was like 19, 20, and 21 years old, you know, being into this kind of music, and they're enthusiastic for the same bands. I don't really hear them hear very much anymore, them speaking of anything new, except for, I think, Lorna Shore is the only one that really comes up from time to time.
Yeah.
Mostly, I see the enthusiasm for, you know, the next Cannibal Corpse or the new Obituary album that just came out. And, you know, so I think there's kind of a resurgence with this younger crowd of you know, the older traditional original style of death metal. And I think that's going to be a thing at least for the next 4 or 5 years. You know, until there's a really cool revolutionary sound that comes out that no one's done before.
Right. Now, you guys use traditional amps on stage, or do you guys go the digital way, modeling amps and things like that?
Well, I would say a little bit of both. I do use an amp, but the amp is pretty much more for power. My main sound currently right now comes from the Zoom V5 N4 processor,
mm-hmm.
and I use the amp modeling mode of a Marshall JCM 800, and my bassist uses basically the bass equivalent. I don't know what amp model he uses, but it's but kind of the same mode.
Yeah, so you find that that's easier to use as far as, you know, rather than lugging a lot of equipment around. But do you find that the sound remains the same, or do you lose, or do you gain a better sound?
No, I don't think I lose or gain a better sound. I think it's just a really solid sound overall. The reason why I came across this idea in the first place was it's been about 11 years now. In my former band, I did a tour in South America, and every show, I can't lug around half stack amps in a cabinet everywhere you go.
Right.
Not down there, not with the way the transportation was. So we had to rely on backline amps, and every night it was like almost a different kind of amp. Some nights I had a Marshall, some nights they rented a Mesa, which was cool. Other nights I had an Ibanez half stack. Other nights I had some Sofitec, late 80s Eastern European made tube amp. That was all they can get together.
Wow.
So basically, traveling with just a pedal board, with my processor and some of my effects in it. And only needing to run into an effects loop on any of these amplifiers, my sound, no matter what the amp was, remained the same overall. So it's not like, anytime I got to a new venue, here's an amp I'm not familiar with, now I got to spend, 30 to 40 minutes trying to dial in this EQ. Basically it was just able to, run a line out from the processor into the effects loop and go right to it.
Nice. Nice. I asked that because a lot of musicians that I've come across now are using a lot of the digital end of things and kind of leaving a lot of the heavier cabinets and heads behind.
Even traveling in the States too. When you're touring with a van and a trailer, you're trying to keep expenses down and gas prices down and things like that. So if you can minimize the weight that you're traveling with, it just really helps your expenses.
Right. And so as far as the band goes, what's the next goal that you guys want to meet?
Continue the path we are. Hopefully we'll, there could be some good opportunities maybe to open for, like a really big, nationally recognized tour, or like maybe a band like Exodus or somebody like that. Hopefully maybe we can get onto something like that. Knock on wood. But what we can do and can control is just to do make the best album we can, promote it the best we can, tour as much as we can over the next couple years, and just grow our grassroots audience that we've. Developed so far and to continue to develop. So
nice. And so is there a website that I can direct some of the people that might be hearing this on the podcast to go to?
Sure. Bloodofangels.net. Okay. It's our official webpage. All our information, past history, you can check out the music. Also, link to our store. You can check out all the press we've had. You can click on the links and read the articles yourself. Basically, it's just a total archive of the band's history.
Nice. All right, well, things got kind of like muddy in the beginning of this, but I've got another interview at 9. But I do appreciate you taking the time to do this, and I will promote you guys as much as I can on my end. And hopefully, if you ever tour the East Coast, we'll get a chance to see you.
Well, that'd be fantastic. Much appreciated. Take care.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep.